Good morning, good day, and good evening. I'm, as always, your host, Brody Robertson, and today, we are back with a KDE developer, but also a YouTuber, who changed your name a while back since the last time you were on. Now you go by Nico Loves Linux. Welcome to the show. What made you actually want to change your channel name?
So basically, the thing is, I'm doing a lot of different things, and Nikolov was just my name. And when I actually started another channel about poetry, I was like, I need to somehow separate the two, you know. And so I just called one Nikolov's Linux, and the other one is Nikolov's Poetry. And if I do, I don't know, mathematics, then it's going to be Nikolov's Mathematics. It's just a nice way to say Nico is like the brand, and then I do many things, not just Linux or KDE. That was the idea behind it.
That's sensible branding. I like it.
I do like the wordplay, like adding the first two letters of the surname. And I like that. It was completely random. I didn't think of it. It just happened. But
hey, if it works out, it works out. But I guess probably the best place to get into, just for reference for anyone listening, this is being recorded on November 20th. So by the time this comes out, we're probably going to be well into the first beta of Plasma 6. So if we talk about anything that has long since been resolved, that's going to be why. But right now we're in the middle of the alpha of Plasma 6. What is that like? Because Plasma 6 has been, you know, it's been a while in progress. We've been on 5 for how many years has 5 been like the main or the version?
It's like 10 years. Yeah, something like that. Maybe slightly less, but something like that. So it's quite a long period of time. I actually joined not that much ago, like halfway through Plasma 5, so I didn't even managed to get the whole Plasma 5 experience. But the idea of switching Plasma 6 was quite exciting, and we've been talking about it for years and years, and then now it's finally happening. It's a bit sad, obviously, that we get to implement just half of the things we wanted to do, but of course time is what it is. Right. So now we're actually a week before, probably less than that, before the feature freeze. So everything that has to be implemented as a new feature has to be done now. And we should have the definitive list of features in a few days, which is nice for promotional work as well. But so I can already start talking about the features that will be there if you want me to. But of course, that means that we are kind of stressing out over managing to get everything in the very last few days. But of course, if you listen, when you listen to all of this, that's going to be done and decided already.
Hopefully. That's the plan. Oh, God. There we go. Okay. Yeah, so what do we even talk about with Plasma 6? So with the alpha coming out, like, what, I know there's been like this massive uptick, Nate wrote about this in a recent blog post, this massive uptick in bug reports, because now it's just in the hands of users, like people are actually like trying it out. It's not just KDE developers who are writing it and working on it themselves. Now those like really dedicated KDE users are also getting involved with that. So have you seen much initial reaction outside of obviously the bug reporting? Like, have people, obviously it's still a small group of people that are doing it. Like, you know, you're not having, you know, Fedora ship it just yet. So it's still that small group, but like, what has that initial reaction sort of been like?
So regarding bug reports, I haven't, this is probably my fault, but I haven't been following bug reports at all, actually.
Fair enough.
Because now that actually there's Blue Systems, the company that sponsors my work, I'm just waiting for Nate Graham, that was here like a couple of episodes ago, to tell me which bugs to fix, and then I just do what it tells me. I'm not even checking the, I should do that. I shouldn't just rely on being told what to do, but I haven't looked at that at all, especially because, yes, there's a lot of new bugs being reported and I'm not able to go through all of them. Mm-hmm. And regarding instead, outside of that, actual reactions, I've not seen many. And mm-hmm. I think that's a good sign because in promo, because I'm also part of the promotion of the project, we really tried not to talk about what's new yet. The alpha release was very technical and we willfully actually removed the stuff that told the users what was new, mm-hmm. because we didn't want yet the videos, the reactions and things that usually I do. So I haven't seen much of a reaction yet, probably with the beta and with the definitive list of features that's going to change. But mm-hmm. I would still like to see the big news being closer to release, which is going to be January, February. So not much of a reaction I have seen yet, but that's going to come.
So when is the feature freeze happening?
Yeah, so that's the thing. I don't remember it now. It's very close. It's in a few days.
I've got the schedule open right now. If I'm reading it correctly, it's November 22nd. That sounds right.
Tomorrow. Is that tomorrow? No, it's in two days.
It's tomorrow for me. So I'm in the future.
That's very close.
Yeah.
Now you're giving me anxiety. That's the soft feature freeze. So then there's the hard one, which is much, don't merge anything after that.
Yeah.
And I think that's on the 29th. Is that correct? You have the info? I don't.
Yeah, I can send you the link right now. I'm not seeing the exact date on here. But I also
could be something like that.
Yeah, okay. So it's...
But yes.
Yeah. It's still a little bit away, but it's getting very, very close.
Yep.
I'm excited to see what happens. I've been saying recently that I probably will properly try out Plasma when 6 comes out. And that'll be... Oh, okay. It was going to be a whole new experience for me, but I have this Steam Deck thing here, and I've been using desktop mode a bit.
If you grab yours, I've got to grab mine. Where is it?
So it's not an entirely new experience, but I've not, desktop mode on here, I've just been, I've opened up Discover, I've installed PCSX2, I open it. I haven't been doing this as proper computing on here. It's more of just go into desktop mode to open an application. So actually properly daily driving Plasma, that's going to be a very new experience when February? Yes, the end of February rolls around. Yeah. I'm excited to see what happens.
It's going to be probably still a bit buggy, the very first release on the very first day. Even though we have even though we have 3 months of just debugging right now ahead of us, it's still, something is going to get through with this amount of changes. So just keep that in mind. I'm just going to mention that.
I was looking at the bug tracker and there was one, this is how important this beta testing, alpha testing phase is. There was a user running a Haswell CPU who, I didn't properly read the bug report, but it was causing the desktop to crash. There was some weird OpenGL issue and it was just crashing the desktop. The bug got fixed. They worked out what the problem was really quickly. But weird things like that are the things that you're not going to notice until some user tries around. None of the developers are running a Haswell CPU. These are things that you need to get it in the hands of users to properly see what's going to happen. There's going to be users that, mess around with some really obscure tablet and the tablet configuration tool just doesn't work for it, or they're going to have some, weird GPU that nobody even supports anymore. Or they're going to run... One I did see was someone was using the Oculus Snap and it didn't have the printers showing up. It's random things like that. those are the things that are going to show up.
It has happened to me that sometimes the users are like smarter than us, because sometimes they think of like use cases that I completely missed. Mm-hmm. I recently implemented a thing for the panel, which is mm-hmm. called fit content, mm-hmm. so that it always is the same size as the content yeah. within the panel, which is a nice thing if you want like a doc. Mm-hmm. And I just implemented the thing. I was like, this is ready. This is working. Everything is fine. And then I get a bug report of a user that actually removed all the widgets inside of the panel so mm-hmm. that the panel was empty, and right. then set the panel to fit to content, and the Plasma crashed and didn't even boot. And I was like, how did I not think of this? Like, mm-hmm. this is so obvious, but I didn't even think.
Well, when you write the code, you obviously... this is why it's important to have that outside opinion, because you write the code with the intention of it being good. Like, you're not writing code that you know is buggy, because you wouldn't have wrote the code if that was the case. So, you need, like, even if it's just, like, one other person, someone needs to look at that code and just try some weird... Even if it's not a weird... Like, that's a pretty normal edge case, and just see what happens.
Yeah, no, all of our merge requests are reviewed by at least a couple of people.
Yeah, yeah.
All of mine, at least. Maybe there's some core developer who can do whatever they want. But
sure.
Yeah, usually there's a good amount of review. But of course, still, you're going to get these yeah. edge cases that aren't that edge case, but we just didn't think of them.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
yes, there are reviews.
Well, that's why... Even though you were saying before we started recording, like, 3 months you feel is, like, a long, long time to be doing bug testing. Like,
yeah,
that... it's important. it's very important, especially if you consider... Look, we consider the history of Plasma. Like, it's had releases. Like, obviously everyone's going to go back to... obviously you went around at that point, but KDE4... 4 was a notorious disaster. 4 is the reason why Trinity exists. Like, it was a nightmare of a release, and nobody wants that to happen again.
Yeah, in fact, I do know of a developer who told me that the switch from KDE3 to KDE4 is what got him involved in the project. Like, it was such a messy release that they thought, okay, I'm just going to help them out here. So that is true, and we are trying to do something much different, very incremental and stable release. We are not changing that much, even though we are.
Sure. But
the idea was not to change that much, so that should be better this time.
Well, yeah, obviously obviously changing the toolkit is going to be like a massive change no matter what you do, but it's not like a whole new... Like, I look at what Plasma 5 is now, and I look at Plasma 6, and if you show me like a screenshot side by side, they're like very similar. It's not like there's a whole fundamental redesign of what the system is going to be. It's very much building upon what's been done over the past 10 years and then making it better, rather than saying, okay, all of that's great, but we're doing this new thing now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there are actually, even very recently, some significant UI changes that probably don't immediately pop to the eye, but I do think they're going to change the look significantly. Mm-hmm. As an example, there's one thing that Carl implemented like just a few days ago, mm-hmm. and people always complain that applications like Dolphin, the main view with the folders was always within an outline, a blue outline that was very ugly. And we actually spent years wanting to get rid of that. And now we did. And now all the views are very sleek looking with one pixel divisors, I don't know. And I do think that looks much better. It's not something you'll notice immediately, but all of these things combined are, I think, gonna change significantly the design.
I just looked up KDE Blue Outline. I found a report about it. I didn't notice it until it got pointed out. But yeah, no, that is... What was the deal with that? Like, why was that there?
So it is to indicate the active view. So the idea is that you have the window with some of the content, and then the actually important content is within a box, which is the view, and you can have multiple view, and the one you're currently working with has a blue outline to remind you that is the one. This was the older design, especially when the title bar was the same color as the content of the window, so everything blended together, so you had to visually show what the view was. Now we actually have a header area at the top, so it's bit different, and now it looks much better.
I guess it's not a, like, it's not a major change, but it is something that I guess is going to slightly change the feel of it like a little bit.
Yeah, there's many of them, like now the panel, I don't know if we are gonna keep this, but currently the panel is floating by default.
Okay,
that is a difference. And, you know, stuff like that. There's probably not at this point because we're this close to the feature freeze, but we will get eventually new icons. So for like Dolphin. So all of these small things, small redesigns, they do help out.
I like the idea of a floating panel, actually. I know some people may not be a big fan of it. But, I don't know, I spent a lot of time on macOS when I was younger. So, like, I'm kind of used to that floating dock, floating panel, whatever term you want to use for it.
Yeah. Panel when it's filling width and dock when it's small.
I guess, that's, yeah.
That's what I call them. I don't know if it's recognized as a term. That's what I call them.
I don't know. It works. Yeah, it certainly does work. You know, that I guess it's not like major changes that you're going for here, but like I can certainly see how they would change that sort of initial perception of it. But obviously, being KDE, like all of this stuff is, you know, if you don't like it, you just be like, no, disable it. Just go back to like, I don't like, unfloat it. Go away from that.
Yeah. Yes, you can always do that. And the idea was to have some kind of stronger visual identity, especially with Windows that lately has been getting very close to our design. Although I do have to say, and this was breaking my heart news, that after we decided to switch to the floating panel, Windows said that Windows 12 is going to have a floating panel as well. So we were like, come on. So, yeah, that didn't work. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that was the idea.
You have a spy in your midst. There is a Windows OS engineer working on KDE.
Yeah, when everything you do is publicly available and stuff. There was even the moment when they kind of stole, but I don't think they did purposely, but the slogan. They came up with a very similar slogan to ours, and we were slightly disappointed in that. But
what's the slogan? I don't think I've heard this one.
Our slogan is simple by default, powerful when needed.
Right.
And I think Windows went with something like simple out of the box, powerful if you need, or something like that. Extremely similar, like extremely similar. And we're like, oh, come on.
Oh, I love that.
But I mean, okay, it's not that difficult to come up with idea of simple by default. Or it can happen, but it was a bummer.
With like the actual GUI design, though, I have no doubts that Microsoft does examine like what is happening on the desktop environments on Linux, on what is it, the same that they would be examining what's happening on macOS. Like, they are looking at what others are doing, what is being done well, and ways that they can sort of build upon their own system. I have no, like, sure, you can come up with the idea of a floating, like, panel yourself, but, like, they're not obviously just ignoring what other systems are doing. Like, they're aware of what other systems are doing. Like, that only makes sense. Whether they're intentionally trying to copy Plasma, that's a whole nother question. but I'm sure they're aware of it.
There are some small things which I guess could be directly inspired by Plasma. Stuff like being able to use the scroll wheel on the audio icon in the system tray to change the volume. That's a small detail, which is nice, and they did it, and we had it for years, so maybe it came from us. But I don't know how much is actually directly inspired from our work. I tend to think that with our 3% market share total, they don't really look at us much, but maybe I'm pessimistic.
Well, Microsoft does use Linux internally, like, so I'm sure it's probably not every single one, but there's going to be at least a couple of people that bring up, like, hey, here's this thing that's on this other system, like, in a meeting, like, maybe we should do that. Like, I have no doubts that is the case. But what I have to get everyone's opinion on this that works on KDE. What is your opinion about single click versus double click?
Did you ask everybody else as well?
I've asked Nate, I've asked David, I'll ask every single other KDE dev I have on the show.
Did you ask Nate as well?
I'm pretty sure I asked Nate.
I gotta watch what they replied exactly. I think Nate prefers single click by default, but David, I don't remember. I think so. Personally, I'm a strong believer of single click by default, as I think most of KDE developers are. The thing is, it's better. Like, let's just say, everybody knows it's better. The thing is that distributions are actually doing the choice for us in reverting that default to double. I think Nate said the same thing because I'm quoting him, but distribution are doing the choice for us in reverting our choice of single click to double click. So it doesn't really make sense to continue in our path. But I do think that in 5 to 10 years, other desktops as well will slowly switch to single click by default because of the younger generation being used to single tapping on their phone. And single click will be yet again the default, as rightfully.
Yeah, I was listening to a... There's an indie dev talking about this, has a channel on YouTube called Pirate Software. Probably, someone's probably seen a clip from him because his channel has just been exploding recently, constantly in YouTube shorts. So he was showing a game off at a convention. First day, he had a system there with a controller and a system there with keyboard and mouse. It was a game like targeted at kids. So the system with the keyboard and mouse, none of the kids played it. There wasn't a single person who used it. They all went to the system with the controller. So the following day, brought a controller for the other system. Both had a controller there. Then he noticed another problem. About 50% of the kids grabbed the controller, moved it to the side, and then touched the screen as if it was a touch. It was like a desktop computer. It was like just a regular monitor. They thought it was a touch screen because they've only ever played games on a tablet or a phone.
Well, personally, I'm a big fan of that, actually. When I had to... Well, first of all, I ditched the mouse 1 year ago. I don't use a mouse anymore. Mm-hmm. I just have a drawing tablet, which is so much faster to use as a daily thing. And when I actually got my hands on the Steam Deck, which has all the controllers, there's some cool stuff in there. As an example, the left touchpad that it has allows you to scroll, and it's very nice. Yeah. And when I actually had to buy the monitor, I looked for a touchscreen big monitor because I was in love with the Microsoft Studio monitor. The idea of having this big 3:2 aspect ratio touchscreen monitor I didn't find one, so I've got that one, which isn't touchscreen, but still, I would love to have a touchscreen, and my computer is a touchscreen, so I'm a big fan of, like, ditching the old ways of not working.
There it is.
Okay, yeah, that works.
The Steam Planet opened.
And you can do, like, you can also do, like, clockwise and counterclockwise with your finger to scroll, which is faster. So that's very nice. I like it a lot.
Now, I want to go back to that drawing tablet thing. So you use a drawing tablet as your main pointer device. What drawing tablet do you have?
I have a Wacom, one of the simple, basic model ones.
Is it this one?
No, it's not. Wait.
It's not that one. Oh, okay. Oh, I don't remember the model number. Yeah, no, I know the one you're talking about. Okay. I do know what the tablet is. I'm just blanking on the name. So
Intuos, maybe something?
Intuos. Yeah. Wacom Intuos. Yes, that is what it is. So what is that experience like? Because I use a drawing tablet primarily for like editing my thumbnails, but I don't use it as my main input device. But
yes.
Yeah.
So it actually was a coincidence as well for me, because my mouse that I had both for my setup wasn't working properly. It was always missing output, and I had a drawing tablet, and I was just, okay, just for now, I'll use that. And I enjoyed it a lot, actually. So it has some benefits, which are the obvious one. It's much easier and quicker to actually go around, click stuff. The mouse, you actually have to... So I that is the good side. It does have some downsides as well. The big one is scrolling. You're unable to scroll. So sometimes I just use the arrow keys. Mm-hmm. But eventually I did surrender and I bought this little keyboard, which does have an integrated touchpad. Of course, I click the touchpad and something happens on my screen. So let's not do that again. But now it's back to normal. But as I was saying, it has a little touchpad, so I can actually scroll. And the other issue is that I do need to pick up the pen to interact with the drawing tablet. Sometimes I'm just using the keyboard and I don't want to have the pen in my hand, so I just quickly use the small touchpad. For very small movements, it's fine, but when I actually have to work, I always use it drawing a tablet because it's so much faster. So it does have some issues. If it was up to me, I would use either one of those drawing tablets with a touchpad-like surface, I don't know, which are able to get both the pen input and the finger one, but I don't think the driver is anything close to usable, like you don't have gestures and such. And otherwise, I would like to have something like the Steam Deck, the little touchpad, but on my keyboard to scroll. But again, nobody has done that yet. And as the very last option, I'm looking into buying another keyboard that has one of those things that you can rotate. Very niche keyboards, but if I can map that
wheel
to scrolling. Yes, like that, but for scrolling, you know?
Yeah.
So this is the overview of issues and benefits of the drawing tablet, in my opinion.
Do you have multiple monitors that you use?
No, I have one monitor.
Okay.
But that monitor is 4K and it's 42 inches. It's like big.
Okay.
So it's basically like having four full HD monitors. So I just need one big one.
Because I was going to ask how you dealt with, like, the tablet across, like, two or three wide display. That's a big part of the reason why I wouldn't use it like that, because I don't just have... I have a three monitor set up, but I also have a vertical monitor. So that would completely throw the tablet out. It just would not be usable on that other display.
I think it would, in theory, if I recall correctly... There's an option to map the drawing tablet area so that the bottom left is the bottom left of your monitor. The top left is the top left of your top left monitor. So you can actually use all of them, and some areas of the drawing tablets are like dead.
Well,
but
the problem
I'm not
with,
sure. I know
that you can do that. The problem is if you stretch out the drawing tablet to more space, you have less fine input. like, because a smaller movement is going to mean more space. So it's going to be a lot, like, you probably wouldn't be able to click on small icons like that.
Yeah. The fundamental issue is wanting a super wide setup. Like, you shouldn't do that. Three to two is the perfect aspect ratio.
With your 42-inch display or whatever, you said 4K 42-inch, yes?
Yes.
I guess you don't have to deal with scaling then.
No.
Yeah, okay.
No, I never use scaling in any of my devices.
Yeah, because 4K normally is... 4K... You can, if you've got good eyesight, you can use it, but you're probably going to want to scale on anything smaller than like a 30-inch display, really.
Before this monitor, I had this one. Just give me a sec.
Okay.
This one is a very nice 4K 28, I think, inches monitor.
Okay.
And I still used it without any scaling because I never use scaling.
You've got some good eyesight.
But of course, eyesight was getting pretty bad very quickly. So for the next monitor, I thought, you know what? Let's go with a 42 inches one. That's going to be better. And it is.
It's going to be better for sure. I've never even considered using it. Like, what even is that monitor? Like, is that one of like NVIDIA's like BFG displays? Like, what is that?
But it's a very standard Samsung Q something monitor. Yeah, no, actually, it's not Q. Wait.
I didn't know Samsung made monitors that big.
I've got it here. I can just read the model, I think. U28R.
No, the big one you have, not the 28-inch one.
Ah, the big one, sorry.
Yeah.
No, the big one is a very nice... sorry?
Did you just throw that monitor?
Yes, it's broken, don't worry.
Okay, it's fine.
Yes, otherwise I wouldn't have bought the new one. Now, this big one is the HP Z43 monitor, I think. Because it's 43 inches.
HP Z43. Okay, I found it.
It even supports like multiple inputs at the same time, so I can split the monitor and have like HDMI one side and USB-C on the other side. Super nice. And it also acts as a USB hub, so I just connect the computer and everything switches. All of my like audio, keyboard, drawing tablet, microphone, everything switches between devices. As soon as I change what's connected to the monitor, it's awesome. One morning, I take my Steam Deck, I plug in my Steam Deck, and everything works out of the box. It's awesome. I love this setup.
I'm going to send you the marketing photo I just found on Amazon for it.
Okay, but I got to find the chat, which is going to be... Yes, well, it's not... Yeah. I think it's marketed towards, you know, business people who do like talks and such. But, you know, I'm
so it's sort of like it's sort of like a boardroom display. I guess that's the way they generally seem to be marketing it. Because who puts a 42-inch monitor on their desk?
I had to guess how much I paid for it.
I wouldn't have a clue because I'm seeing them go from anywhere from like $600 to $1,400. I don't know what this thing is priced at.
Yeah, I think it was originally priced towards €600 to €700.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually managed to find one used but in perfect condition for $300. That was a great deal in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Jeez. Do you
and
have it?
Funnily enough, the guy had two of them, and I just bought one, obviously. And he was like, "Can you also buy the other one, please?" And I was like, "I don't know what to do with it. Like, one is too big for my room already. I wouldn't know how to put the other one."
Use it for, I don't know, replace your TV. It's big enough for it.
Yeah, no, but it was actually awesome that this monitor, the 28 one, the smaller one, It was the one I was using in Sweden, mm-hmm. because I was in Sweden. And then in June, I went back to Italy. And I didn't know how to ship the monitor from Sweden to Italy. I couldn't sell it. So I actually tried to put it in the bag with me on the plane towards Italy. And as you can guess, it didn't quite work out. It was completely broken. And the thing is that when I got back to Italy, because of stuff, you know, ticket price and such, I didn't have any money left in my savings. Mm-hmm. I couldn't afford a new monitor. I was quite sad. I didn't know what to do. So I tweeted like, hey, my monitor just broke. I don't have the money for a new one. I'm screwed. And I actually received in 2 days, 300 euros in donations. So that was awesome from the community. I'm super happy about that. Mm-hmm.
And then you bought that thing.
Yeah.
Do you just have it sitting on your desk or do you have an arm for it?
No, it's on my desk. And I can tell you also that I bought a desk with wheels on it, which means I can move it around. I can show you probably
some. You have your camera behind it.
Yes, the camera is behind. But I just remember that the camera is connected to the computer, and if I move the desk, it's going to mess up. So let's not do that, actually.
I can also do fancy things.
Yeah, that's very nice. Ooh. I can do that as well, but I don't have the button. I actually have to do the screws.
Yeah, I knew that if I didn't get one that was electric, I would never use it.
Understandable.
The problem is I've got this whiteboard here, and sometimes the whiteboard likes to fall under the desk, and then it hits when it's coming down, and it's like, do, 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 and then I'm like, nope, gotta stop that. Let's not destroy the motor there.
Yeah. I actually have on my left ear, on the wall, I took some paint, black paint, and I painted black part of the wall, and it works as a blackboard perfectly. So I can just write on my wall, and it's super nice. I'm currently thinking how to show it to you, but I think I'm not going to do that yet. I can show a picture. That's the best I can do right now. But it's very nice, I swear.
So what are you actually doing for your lighting now? Like, what are you using for it?
For the lights?
Yeah.
So... right now I have one main light, this one, which is an Elgato key light. That's the me.
Yep.
And then I've got three, one, two, and three. This one is turned off, but I can just do that as well. Mm-hmm. These are LED RGB lights, and I can just set whatever light color I want, even from my phone, which is nice.
Just some like generic and, brand, not like a specific thing.
They are LDV something. Let's say generic brand. I absolutely don't remember. But it was something like that, yes. Mm-mm. But the cool thing is that I can change it very quickly, so.
Ooh, that's nice.
Let's do that. And they were like $20 free. I was like, that's a steal. Can I do that?
This color combination you going on right now does not look nice, but what you're doing before was good.
I often like going full blue, because blue is very blue, and you get something like this and it's blue.
That? With the light in your face, that has like a real weird effect.
Yeah. But yeah, I usually just go for blue and red. That's very neutral.
How far are the lights away from you? Like, you reckon?
2 arms length.
Oh, wow. Okay, it's really close.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of. This one is a bit closer, obviously.
Yeah, like, see, my problem, right, is I have a bed right here. Like, I'm touching it right now, and there's a wall here. I've got space behind me. I can move the desk back if I need to, but, like, because I'm, I don't really have much space around here. I could probably, like, move the camera in, like, zooming further and then have more, like, to work with there. But I don't really have a spot where I can set things up permanently right now, which is the problem. If I... I could obviously bring stuff out every day I wanted to record, but that's just, like, a massive, massive hassle. Probably my best... My best shot would be, like, doing something, like, mounted to the wall if I was going to do it. But...
So, for me, I had this... Basically, 1 year ago, my setup wasn't nearly as good, as you know. So, the thing is, back then, I was doing one video every day, basically. And it was, like, important for me to be able to sit down, get the mic, and start recording.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I'm doing, like one video every week or something like that, so very sparingly. But I want those videos to be very good, so I actually have a setup that I take out every time I have to record, and it takes, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour. But the result, I think, is pretty good. Like, I usually look at there, and the light is... I like it. So that's a bit of balance you have to find between something that works out of the box and something you have to set up. But if you're able to mount things at the wall to for everything to work out of the box, that would be awesome as well.
Sure. with your videos, do you actually like? So do you fully script them? Do you just do notes? How do you go about them?
I fully script every single word of them. And then I have this, which is...
Ah, you've got one of those as well. I've seen a bunch of that using obviously. This now.
Honestly, it was like a game changer for me, like this. It works very nicely, and it allows me to not tremble at all. I can just write whatever I want to say. I can provide faithful closed captions. I can provide blog posts that say literally the same thing as the video for who wants them, and I'm able to hire people to write scripts for me, which I don't even have to review. I just put them there and start reading. Obviously, I do review them because obviously...
Sure.
You never know what you're gonna say. Sometimes I do like read them and there are some sentence which makes no sense whatsoever. So I do review them, but you know, I could just start talking.
Yeah, I even if here's the thing, even though I did script out videos, anyone who listens to me talk on stream and try to read something, I am really bad at it. Like, really, really bad. I've never been tested for dyslexia. However, I would not be surprised about the results.
Okay. Makes sense, I guess.
I've played around
different
some of the,
setups for everyone.
I've played around with a couple of these like fonts that help with it, and generally they do tend to help you read a bit better, so maybe I should probably find out. That's probably the worst idea. Maybe I'll do that at some
point. You can try.
I could, or I could just keep doing what I'm doing and just stumble over all my words and re-record stuff.
If it works, 10, it works. Yeah.
So how long does it usually take you to do one of your videos now?
Way too much. So the thing is, nowadays I'm pretty busy with KD development, so it takes too much time.
Right.
But usually I do take about 1.5 hours researching, just reading articles and such. 1.5 hours actually writing the script, and then it's 40 minutes of recording, if it's like 20 minutes of video. And then I just send to the editor, then the editor sends the files back, and I take 1.5 hours to review the files, and then it's 20 minutes to actually upload everything, do the cover and such. So I don't know what that sums up to be, but it's too much.
You said, Yeah, that's, yeah, is quite a bit of time. At least you don't do the editing, so that's one bit of time saving.
It's time saving, but it's not money saving.
yeah. That's part of the reason I don't do the editor thing. Like, it would be nice, but I don't know. It's, I don't enjoy editing. Like, that's the thing. I've never really understood the people who are like, yeah, I like video editing. No, I video edit. I like the researching part and the recording part. I edit for the purpose of getting a coherent video. Like, I will sit there and read. Like, one of the videos I want to do, there is a one of the kernel maintainers talked about how the kernel bugzilla is not exactly official. It's something that was sort of like forced upon them by the Linux Foundation, and like some subsystems just simply don't care about it and literally never check it. So reporting a bug there doesn't even matter. And there's this this mailing list thread that's like 100 messages long, and I will sit there and just read every single message, and I will enjoy that. But if you're like, hey, you've got to go and edit this 20-minute video, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm on my phone like 5 minutes later, like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. I totally understand that. Another benefit for having like the text on the screen, mm-hmm. the teleprompter,
yeah,
is that basically what I say is what gets in the video, and mm-hmm. editing is mostly cutting out when I misspeak, which is often, sadly. And just adding the B-rolls, so that makes things easier for the editor, hopefully.
And I guess if you want to have like those blog posts as well, that definitely does make that quite a bit easier.
Yeah. Yes.
I've considered doing that in the past because of the way that I tend to just, my videos are a lot more scripted than they used to be, but a lot of what I say is like during the moment. I will have like the main points written down and then we'll fill in the gaps. So
yeah,
for me, doing that would be a lot of extra work. That
are you a native speaker?
I hope
I don't
so.
Remember.
Yes, I live in Australia. I only yeah. speak English.
Yeah. So that matters. I wouldn't be able to just see the key points and do coherent, well-spoken, like decently spoken script. Mm-hmm. Like, I do need to write it in advance because otherwise I'm gonna mess it up. I still mess it up, but
yeah. People joke in my streams that I am a native speaker that is terrible at English. That's pretty much where we're at. And look, Australians. I'm Australian, so we speak English, but it's a little bit broken sometimes. my accent has cleaned up quite a bit since I've been doing like YouTube stuff and, you know, speaking to Americans, speaking to Europeans. Like, it sort of evens out your accent quite a bit, but there are times where it will come out and I will sometimes just turn it on in a stream just to see what happens, just to see if anyone can understand a word I'm saying. It usually doesn't go super well, but because I also grew up in like rural Queensland, but just general rural Australia. And it's probably the same in Italy as well, but in the rural part is where you get the people that have like the super thick accents. Yeah, so that can happen sometimes.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. But mm-hmm. Yeah, it was quite difficult for me to adapt to speaking English, mm-hmm. trying to be fluent. And I got a lot of feedback in the comments, especially in the earlier videos, saying, you speak too fast, you speak too slowly, I cannot understand anything under your French accent. And I was like, I'm Italian, not French, but whatever. So
I get British a bit of time. I get British very, very often. I don't understand. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, I might have, but if you want some encouragement, go watch Nick's really old videos, because he was learning English when he started this channel. It was like, you can very clearly see how much better he's gotten at it. Like, at the start, he was very clearly struggling to, like, string sentences together.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm very curious now. I didn't know about that.
Because he's been around for, I don't know, a couple of years on YouTube at this point. I don't know how long, but certainly a while.
I think so. Yeah, I think even 3 at this point.
I'm not sure.
I do remember when I actually decided to open a YouTube channel. Before doing so, the first thing I did was to send an email to Nick, just saying, hey, how? What do I have to do? And he was super nice. He replied to everything, gave me a lot of advice, and I think it worked.
Yeah, you've clearly got something going on now. It clearly coming together well, even though you don't have a ton of time to do it because of your KDE stuff. But yeah, the quality's like your channel. You've clearly put a lot of effort into improving the quality, like over the time you've been doing it. Like anyone who's seen the previous time you're on, for example, like. Your setup was a lot simpler back then. Mine, like, my setup's still fairly simple, but I've gotten a lot more understanding of how to, like, light my scene. Now I don't look like I'm deathly ill. Now I look, you know, slightly normal, which is good, which is an improvement. But you've clearly put a lot of effort into, like, trying to improve the general quality of the videos and trying to, obviously having the editor there, making them more of a, like, general enjoyable experience. And if you're uploading at a less frequent rate like that, like, that's obviously going to be a big thing to do.
Yeah, and it was a lot of things to learn and to improve on, not just the lights, which are even a key part of it, but even actually being able to stand in front of a camera and, you know, the attitude in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. When I rewatched the last time I was in this show, my face was constantly angry somehow. I wasn't angry, but my resting face was terrible. And now I'm smiling, which is significantly better compared to last time, I think. And actually being able to, I was very camera shy at the beginning. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, I didn't put my face on it, just the voiceover. With time, I got used to it. And now I'm actually, you know, I don't have big issues doing all of this now. But at the beginning, it was a lot to learn. And even actually, even just buying a new camera, that one is awesome, and I really like it. So that improved the quality a lot as well, and being able to have all this space to do all of this, lots of pieces to put together. They took a lot of time, but I was quite proud of them, of each step forward.
I'm looking at the video now. I was in this house. I didn't realize I've been here this long. I thought oh my god, I've been here over a year now. No, because
I can just tell you, I moved 2 times since that video, so...
Yeah, I was living with roommates the past couple of houses, and I really did not like the people I was living with, so I went through a couple of houses fairly quickly. Now I'm living with one of my friends from high school, and it's a lot nicer. He's basically out all the time because he's got work. He's like, he works for 2 solid weeks straight and then like comes back after that. So he like lives on like the job site and then comes back after that. So it's pretty much just chill half the time now. It's great. It's a big improvement. But yeah, I see what you mean about your like resting face in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
I don't want to hear my voice, but I've heard my voice in some of my older videos, and one of the things that I really struggled with was putting emotion into my voice in a way that sounded not weird. Like I also really struggled with how to talk on camera, because it's more than just talking. Like there's a way you have to sort of emphasize words, the way you have to, you know, look at the camera in a certain way. Like, these are things you definitely build up over time. And one of the things that I've said for a while is you should be able to look back at your old videos and realize that, like, you've improved quite a bit. Like, if you look at your old content and you don't think that it's terrible, you've stopped improving, and that's a problem. Like, I honestly, like, some of my old videos, I don't know why I thought they were good at the time, but I recorded them then, and I was like, this is great. And a few months after that, I was like, okay, that's terrible, but I'm good now. And it keeps, like, cycling like this, and I don't think there's a point where I'm ever going to be like, you know what, I'm actually happy with the quality of the videos at this point. I'm happy with the way that I am producing them, the way I'm conducting them, that's a better word, the way I'm actually conducting myself in these videos. And I think that's a good thing. Never let yourself get into this point where you feel like there's no way to improve anymore. Always make these tiny incremental improvements every single time, and hopefully over the years, things will get better.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it takes a bit of practice to fully understand, like, the idea of being able to understand what to improve on mm-hmm. each video. I think I mentioned at the beginning, I don't know if we were recording already, I think so, that I don't like this backdrop at all. Mm. I completely want to change it, and I have, like, plans. I even have over there, let me show you, is little tiles, and basically I have to cut into each tile and then paint them. It's going to be a very cool thing when it's done. And then, of course, I know that this microphone has to be replaced. Even though I like the audio, this is, like, dynamic, and it gets a bit of quality lost. And I still do things on camera that I shouldn't be doing. As an example, even in my videos, I very often get closer and further away from the microphone, and then when I actually go to the audio, it keeps messing up, and stuff like that. There's just knowing the things to improve on. Mm. And recently I got into a point where I realized that part of things that I had to improve was also how I looked, like my hairstyle, my clothes. Like, I don't know if you take, like, a videos from me a couple of years back, I was a bit of a mess.
Oh, I want to talk about a mess. Let's find some of my old videos. Let's just see what comes up. Let's search Brody Robertson. I didn't even know what old video I did was. Arch install. Wait, let's do a Vim wiki. You know what? That'll work. No, I looked too clean in that video. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to go to my channel. We're going to go sort by oldest. Okay, yep, here we go. Let's find something terrible in here. I don't even want to look at this. I really don't. Oh, that's 4 years ago.
I'm looking at over your videos now.
Oh my god. Let's see if I find something. Nope.
Thing is, you publish too often. It's going to take too much time for me to scroll as a user.
I look horrendous in this video. What am I? I was like 21 at the time. Man, I.
You know, improving.
One thing I do need to improve on, I wear black shirts all the time. This is a problem. And, you know, the beard blends in with the shirt. And then I usually have these blackout curtains here as well. I need to buy shirts that are, like, either buy shirts that are not black, or I know some people get around it by wearing jackets. Like, they'll have a colored jacket on, and that completely eliminates the problem. But that, I think, would be a big improvement.
Could be.
But jackets are a problem because it's going to summer right now, and it gets hot in Australia. So maybe not that one.
Yeah. No, I'm in winter. So what I decided to do now, I am actually going through a lot of changes right now in the structure of the channel. I can talk but more about that later. But thing is, one of the things I've decided to do is that from now on all of my videos, I will try, hopefully, to always wear the nicest outfit I have, which is white. I don't know the English word for it. What's the... Wait, I can directly show you.
Yeah. Like a dress shirt, I guess?
Something like that. I don't know what's the exact word for it. And then a blue jacket over it, which is
fancy.
So it looks nice and everything. And that's just what I'm going to wear for like then. And also, I always put my these little rules. From now on, I will always have, again, what's the word? What's the English word for it? I can't just show you everything and...
You can. Do you just have it all just right there?
Yeah. Except I managed to lose this one, but it's okay because I ordered 12. It's pins, I think.
Right, okay.
You know,
the
pins.
Right, okay. Right.
So from now on, I will have one pin, a different pin each video because I ordered 12. Just, they're coming this Wednesday. With LGBT flags, because that's what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the style from now on.
Sure. Okay. Why the dress shirt? Why the pins?
So, because basically, this part of... I just threw the shirt on top of the monitor, by the way. So that wasn't good for it. But... yeah, so I decided to quite... So this is another part of the improving experience. I'm changing a lot how my channel presents to the user. And initially, my channel was like a technical channel about KDE development. And then it got to being more about, explaining KDE to the user in various of its cool stuff. And then it got to being like actually talking about the Linux desktop experience to the wider audience. And each time I was, addressing a wider audience to make my channel grow. And lately I was like considering what to do next, because I'm not currently too happy about the niche or the target that I have right now. I still want to tweak it. And I want to do something that is like once a week, so less frequent compared to before. But I want to talk, I want to do researched videos about the European legislation and how it affects open source, or the latest move by Google to stop ad block and stuff, or how YouTube now detects ad block and that might be illegal under European law, this kind of stuff, which does require quite some research before, but it's much closer to what I like to do. And part of that was actually going to my audience. I did that on Twitter weeks ago, and I want to clarify that even more in the coming videos. That is, my channel does a lot of politics. Like, I used to do less of that before, and I'm doing more and more because I do politics, like, and talking about politics is normal for me and it's important, so that's what I'm going to do. So this time when I do LGBT and people say, keep the politics out of your videos, no, that's the whole point of my videos. I do politics.
Mm-hmm. That's understandable. No, that's the end.
I just realized that I didn't come to the question. So the thing is, I want to present this dressed in fancy on the side with the information near me, a bit like John Oliver Last Week Tonight. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
That's the rough idea, not a late night show, but the concept of the video, how to present the video, that's the idea I'm going for.
Yeah, I sort of understood you were trying to go for like a more, you want to go for these more serious topics. You want to be dressed in a more serious way where people were actually like take what you're saying as like a, I'll sit here and rant about, MV3 and rant about the ad block stuff. But like, if you're trying to approach this in more of like a, I want to talk about these topics in a way that people will actually listen to what I'm saying and not just be like, oh, this is just a YouTuber saying YouTuber things. That makes sense. Like, that is understandable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm going for. And like my big goal or target at the moment is being able to interview the European Parliament representative of the Pirate Party, who's doing all the work on chat control and such. Mm-hmm. That is my goal right now. I'm not sure if I'll achieve it, but I'll try that.
Well, it's certainly nice to have a goal. I hope it goes well. I really do. I hope I'll be curious to see how the rebrand sort of plays out, because it's not like a massive shift, because you already talk about a lot of these topics, but I'm curious to see how well these wall research videos will actually end up doing. Like, there's two reasons why I upload a lot. One, choice paralysis. I have a lot of things I want to talk about. So instead of picking one of them, I pick all of them.
I wish I had that problem. I'm always like in search of topics, desperately searching for topics.
Well, I have people that sort of understand the kind of dumb things I like to talk about. So people just send me random things. Like, let's see what's in the Discord right now. What is here? Let's see. Someone sent me one about... I'm trying to find a good one here. People also talk in this channel and like, they shouldn't be. Oh, someone sent me a thing about the systemd bsod service, for example. I don't know if you heard about this, but systemd now has a... Yeah, so systemd now has a blue screen of death service, which I'm 100% certain was named that to troll the people who hate systemd, who are like, oh my god, now systemd supports blue screens. It's basically just a nicer way to show crash information.
Yeah.
And things like that, I want to talk about, because nobody talked about it. Like, there's a Phoronix article and that's literally the entire thing. Or a lot of the time I'll see something that like Nate posted and I'm like, ah, that's not the point of the article, but I'll like focus in on this very little thing and overanalyze it to the point where nobody should enjoy it, but for some reason, like, for some reason, it seems to work.
Yeah, and, it totally makes sense.
And, like, I also enjoy just, like, deep diving on things that nobody sensible cares about. Like, I've got a video that I'm working on. It's not at all topical, but years ago, Canonical tried to make a phone. Now, this phone had imaginary specs. Like, it was a Kickstarter project or Indiegogo. At the time, it was...
I did a video on that.
Sorry?
I did a video on that.
Oh, you did? Yeah. That device, it had was 128 gigs of storage or something crazy they were saying. Like, the device was imaginary. It was never going to be a thing. Like, there was another phone that existed, but like the one they were pitching was just not going to ever be real. It was like way out competing the iPhone at the time. Just things like that. Or I did a video on Ubuntu TV, which was like their TV operating system they made, where they showed a demo off at CES and like, we're getting ready to ship. They had no partners. They didn't even have like integration into a TV. The entire demo was powered by a PC under the table. And years later, people were like, where's this Ubuntu TV thing? It wasn't real. It was just nonsense. Things like that. I will just go down on some rabbit hole with something like that. And that's what I enjoy. But finding, like, what you're doing, finding actual, like, serious topics. Like, what's your recent video? The threat to free software is worse than I thought. I don't know the context of that one. The end of private messages, is that control. Something to do with encryption?
The chat control. You don't know about chat control?
No, I am not aware of that one.
You should. So, chat control is, it's a very complex topic, which why it is the longest video I ever made, scripted. And it's a European legislation that's being proposed and very much discussed. And basically, everybody who offers end-to-end encryption services or any kind of chat message would have to implement client-side scanning of all messages for child pornography. I'm going to get you demonetized like this. but yeah, no, I actually... I mean, sorry, that's the topic. You can blur this thing out in the editing, but yes, scanning for child pornography. And if they find that you're sending child pornography, of course, you get immediately the police after you. But how to actually implement that is not, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. And it would actually completely defeat the entire point of end-to-end communication. So there's like people trying to say, hey, Europe, what you're trying to do is going to make end-to-end encryption impossible. So maybe don't. I get that fighting child pornography is a good cause, but giving up end-to-end encryption is not a good thing either. Mm-hmm. So that was the topic. And these videos, like that one and the first one I did was about Europe, was the Cyber Resilience Act. Mm-hmm. And I was like, seeing how it went, like how many views it got. And the Cyber Resilience Act actually got 40,000 views, which is 4 times higher than I usually get. And then I did the Google Web DRM, the Web Environment Integrity API. Yep, and that one was also like 40,000. And then I did another video about Europe, and then it was like 12,000, which is very good. So it seems to be working. So I don't see why I shouldn't get closer to that.
Mm-hmm. But the only problem there is actually like then finding things you want to talk about that you feel is like a big enough topic. Because it's not like those topics are just happening constantly. Like it's going to be a lot harder to find something that really feels justified to talk about.
Yeah, totally. And I do write now the ideas for the videos. Luckily, there is stuff happening. So now that I'm following this kind of news, I do see stuff. Like, currently I have 4 ideas of videos, which should be enough for like 4 weeks at this point. So it's a month of content, and it's like the right to repair is doing a lot of stuff. There's a lot of ruling in America, a lot of laws. Mm-hmm. So about that, and then there's the Signal talking about how much it costs to run the entire network.
That
was super interesting. And then there's Chrome, who wants to pick up again Manifest version 3 and get rid of, you know, these kind of things. And then there's the French police who's using facial recognition, these kind of things. I'm just starting to put pieces together, and I think there's stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but...
So the problem with... Because my topics are a lot looser. I have a document that I just... it used to be sorted into categories, and then I stopped sorting into categories, and now it's just this list of chaos that I pick things from. And sometimes there's probably news topics in there from 2 years ago that are not at all relevant anymore that I won't ever talk about. They're just on the list still. Actually, you know what? I'll just send you what it looks like. Because it's not good. Here we go. Okay, so this is just a small excerpt of the chaos.
I'm going to steal all of your ideas, obviously.
Feel free to do so. Let's see.
I do a similar thing with a Nextcloud document.
Mm.
And let me see. I have to get closer. I get what you mean when you say like thrown together, but
I know. See, it's I would like to say organized chaos, but it's mostly just chaos. I know but how to use the document, but no one else needs to know.
What's a free software absolute?
I don't know. See, this is the problem. I sometimes write down topic ideas and don't write down the context. And then I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And that's one of those cases. I think I read a comment and I wanted to rant about it. And then I forgot to write down the context. And now it's just sitting there.
Yeah, that happens to me as well. Usually not for the videos, but I have two documents where I just brainstorm stuff. One is for videos ideas. The other one is for gifts for my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. They're the two important documents I have. And very often I just put something on the gift for girlfriend list and then I completely forgot what even is that. So it does happen to me as well.
Do you at least like include a link to where to get it, or you just like you write down a general idea?
Sometimes I put like I watch a lot of TikTok. This is gonna be controversial. I do watch a lot of TikTok, and sometimes I see products on TikTok that I think are interesting, so I just put a link. Sadly enough, TikTok has this weird habit of deleting videos. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Which means that when I actually go through the list, half of the links are broken and I have no idea what they were. So I usually try to write something about what the product is so I can remember, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, we sort of have the same problem then, just for different reasons. Yeah. I should be better with this. I used to be. I used to be so neat and tidy.
Yeah, you start with a lot of I'll be organized and everything, and then you slowly end up in chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine. And the other thing is I do 6 videos a week, but I get usually more than 6 video topics a week, and I sometimes add more than 6 a week onto the list. So the list is just getting progressively longer and longer and longer.
Yeah.
I would like to go back and address some of the old topics, but it's just not good. There are, like, the big ones I will just jump onto, like, one random, this goes back to what I was saying with talking about things that nobody sane cares about. There is this really long thread about Ubuntu not using HTTPS for its repos. This is like an 8-year-old bug report. It still's not been addressed. My favorite part of it is they used to not use HTTPS for the ISO downloads. The reason why they started doing it is because Chrome literally disabled HTTP downloads, and then the next day they fixed it. It's because they would just make it so you couldn't download Ubuntu at that point. So like, okay, time to fix the problem.
I mean, security is not that important if you think about it. Privacy, come on.
Yeah, nah. Then the best part about the repos is in most Ubuntu releases, there has been an RCE that would have been fixed by just using HTTPS repos. So if they just did it, that would be nice. And some of the repos do use it. It's just others don't, for no reason. There's never been an explanation for it.
Oh, I recently switched away from Ubuntu, so that's good to hear.
What are you using now?
I actually switched to Arch.
As every developer seems to do.
I don't know. I was using KDE Neon for KDE development.
Fair enough.
And that wasn't working well. I do not recommend KDE Neon currently. Mm-hmm. So I just switched to Arch and everything works. I'm quite surprised because when I do live streams and people ask about this kind of things, there's always somebody that says like, switch to Arch. Why don't you use Arch? You switch to Arch. And I've always been like, Ubuntu works for me. Why should I switch? And I should have done sooner. I now realize that I should have done sooner.
What has the experience been like for you then generally?
I'm sorry?
What has the experience on Arch been like for you?
Everything works nicely.
Yeah.
I haven't upgraded yet. Mm-hmm. Like, never. So that might cause some issues, but I just switched to it, so...
how long have you been on it then for?
I think it has been 2 weeks.
Okay, you might want to do a bit of a package upgrade.
I know. So the thing is, there is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
When I upgrade, I need to rebuild everything for Kdy Plasma.
Right.
I do compile Kdy Plasma from source, and when I upgrade packages, I also need to recompile stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that takes hours, and I'm too lazy to wait hours for stuff to recompile. So yeah.
That's a fair point. Do it overnight and hope nothing breaks. How long does it take to build Plasma from source?
On your system,
at least.
Plasma on my computer, I think it takes 2 to 3 hours or something.
Okay.
Something like that.
What are you running?
So, where is it? It's on my bag. Let me... At this point, I think I showcased everything I have. So this is my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can recognize that it is a Dell XPS 13 Developer Edition laptop with i5. So, I mean, it's fine.
Sure.
It's not too fast, but it's not slow either.
It's just show and tell time with you, isn't it?
Right?
It's just show and tell time for you. Just grab random things. You just got sitting around here.
I mean, I have everything in this room. I might as well.
I am very curious to know what your floor looks like. You just threw a monitor on the floor. You threw a dress shirt. I have a feeling that you've angled the camera perfectly so this room looks clean. But in reality, it's an absolute disaster.
So, I will say, to my right, you should imagine a bed, and it's a bed for like 2 people, so it's a big one, even though it's only me, but it's still a big bed, because of reasons. So everything is currently like stashed on the bed, then I have the laptop on my left, on, I don't know what's the English word for that either, but I'm not gonna show it to you because it's on a big wood thing. I don't know what's
like
the name of
stool?
It.
Like a
Yeah, something like that. But it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Okay. Well, the fact that you say not that bad.
When we get to the end of this, I can actually try to move the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Which should be possible, but I don't want to try it before we're to the end so that everything breaks. We're fine, but I can show it later.
Now, I will say that I do have convenient framing. Like, I've got my clothes that I've not put away just outside my frame here, and there's clothes on the floor over there, but the section that you see, that's all that matters.
About that, let me ask a question. So,
yes.
Is everything on that library on the back yours? And if so, what books are that? What mangas are that?
Okay, let's grab something random. Give me 1 second.
I mean, this question just has to be asked, right? I will say that I used to have a lot of books on my backdrop as well some months ago, and it was nice because I was able to showcase all of my interests. But I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I'm using headphones, so I can't hear a word you're saying.
I know. I just said some stuff just for the audience. So you won't be able to know what I said.
I see. Yeah, so it's mainly... a bunch of light novels up here, which is manga for people that like to read a bit more. Oh, camera.
So far, it's all stuff that I vaguely recognize, but that I don't know. Ah, Goblin Slayer. Yeah, I vaguely recognize that one as well.
There's a bunch of other stuff up there as well. And then... Actually, wait, can we... No, I need to go this way. Camera's there. Yeah, there we go. there's also a guitar over there that I'm very lazy at playing. And there's some PS4 games. I also have books that are not anime stuff. Let me... You know what? We'll grab something there. No, I got a perfect one to grab. This is my prized possession. Okay. I found this at a thrift store, and I had to buy it when I saw it.
That's good. That's good.
There's a bunch of like philosophy books and stuff, and comp sci books and stuff down there. Down the bottom there, you can see that all that bit down there. That's all books that are not in a shelf because I need to get another shelf. But for now, they're all
okay.
Down there.
Poor books. Poor books.
Yeah, I used to read a lot more. I've been fairly lazy. One of the many things I've been fairly lazy with. There's a lot of stuff in there that I want to get around to reading. Like, I've got both the books from the XKCD author down there. I've only read one of them. I don't know if you've... Are you aware of his books?
I do have one. It's on the other room, though, so I can show it to you.
Yeah. For anyone who hasn't read the XKCD author's books, I'm forgetting what his name is right now. But basically, each section is on, like... answering like some weird scientific question. It'll be what happens if you point a magnifying glass as big as the Earth at how quickly would it light the planet on fire? Like really dumb things like that, just looking into questions that nobody sensible would answer, but he's just gonna sit there and do it.
I'm aware of that's good stuff. I always enjoy reading those.
But yeah, there's a ton of other stuff down there. I'm not gonna drag it all out because honestly the biggest pain for me when I moved was getting all those books here because I needed multiple cardboard boxes full of books, and when you have a cardboard box full of books, that gets really really heavy.
I'm aware of that. And imagine a cardboard box full of books through an airplane in the same box of a monitor, 28 inches. So
that was not a good way to ship it. I guess you just didn't have any better way to do it.
No, I just did.
At least any way to know. Any way you knew that was better to do it.
I tried to put the bag so that it was like safe with my clothes around it, but sadly I kind of messed up and didn't work out.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if there was, you know, luggage gets thrown around. So, was it your carry-on luggage or was it the luggage that you just, like?
No, 28 inches is too big for a carry-on. So
that's actually a good point. Yeah, it's probably got thrown around. There was probably something on top of it. Yeah.
I tried. Look, I tried.
Yeah. I don't think there was any way you were going to be able to do that without it getting damaged, though. That's...
I don't know about that, because when I actually... It was not, like, terrible damage. It was little damage. And when I saw where the damage was... I mean, it was enough to make the whole thing broken. But when I saw where the damage was, I realized that there was next to it some metal stuff that I could have put elsewhere. So I think that if I had organized the whole thing better, I could have saved it. But I don't like to, you know, pry on the spilled milk. That's probably not an English saying, but...
A cry over spilt milk? Yeah, no, yeah, that is. It just phrased it a bit weirdly.
It is?
Yeah.
Nice.
So we've been off the KDE topic for a while now. Let's shift back to that just a little bit. One thing that you were involved in a while back was the wallpaper competition, and that ended a little bit ago, like a week ago. Well, the deadline at least ended.
I think 3 days ago or something.
Okay, maybe it changed since then, because the deadline on the original post was the 14th, but maybe something changed since then.
The 14th?
Yeah, that's what it
Am
says.
Am I that late?
Maybe you're just late. Yeah, I'm... The post... I will send you your own post. Here you go.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't tell me this. 14th. Oh, my. Oh, my. Okay. So, yeah. Wallpaper competition. Let's talk about that.
Yeah,
so,
how did that go?
Firstly, it went great. We received... So this is information that nobody has heard before. So this is absolutely a scoop. We received 250 submissions, which is
wow.
Great. I don't have the number of previous competitions, so I can't compare, but it's a very high number. Mm-hmm. And my feeling is that we got a lot of very high quality submissions, even compared to past competitions. So we will have an awesome wallpaper. I'm certain of that.
Yeah, no. I looked at it like right back at the start, and there are some. I'm just clicking on random ones, and there are some really good submissions that have like come in way later.
And keep in mind that a good percentage of the wallpapers were sent to me privately, so you don't even see all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've got more, and they're awesome. So. Yes, and the thing is, now we have to select 6 finalists. And apparently we took 5 days just to download all the wallpapers, because it sounds easy, but it isn't. You have to actually go ahead and manually, like by hand, download 250 wallpapers. And even though we have rules, everybody just forgets about them and keeps submitting wrong sizes, wrong files. So I have to actually get in touch with people and say, hey, you messed up. I'm not going to disqualify you, but please send the correct files. And then we had this one rule, which was, please don't use AI art. That was simple enough.
I did see a couple of those early on, yeah.
And the thing is, now, I couldn't understand it if you use AI art and you try to cheat and you hope nobody notices. But I actually went ahead and people were like, oh, we are not supposed to do that. And I'm like, it's in the rules. Have you even read the rules?
Mm.
Like, come on.
Now,
it's incredible the amount of people that just actually takes time. I mean, not the AI artist, but takes time to do artwork and everything without even reading the basic rules. I'm just, yeah. Now we have all the wallpapers, all 250 of them, and we will start looking through them to select the finalists. This is going to take a few days at least, but yeah.
Now, whilst a lot of the art is really good, I think we can agree which one's not going to win.
So, when I was, again, manually downloading them by hand, I went through this wallpaper, which you should totally show.
It's showing on screen right now.
Okay, beautiful. So, and I actually asked myself, okay, should I download this and include this in the... So the thing is, I can actually disqualify this immediately because it doesn't meet the requirement for resolution.
Mm.
This one is...
720,
whereas we require 5K. So, the thing is, I actually sidestepped this rule pretty often because people just couldn't figure out how to upload 5K images to our forum. Mm-hmm. So I thought, why should I disqualify this? let's just download it like everything else. So yes, it is within the 250 submissions and we will judge it. I cannot tell you if like we like it or not, because but yeah.
That's fair.
And now I can tell you that I did receive very early in the competition when I had more energy, mm-hmm. a submission that was very similar to it in mm-hmm. quality. And again, 720p. And I actually replied to this person saying, hey, great submission, but it's 720p. We need 5K. And this person actually replied to me and sent a new wallpaper, like the same one. Still 720p. Still 720p. I was like...
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. But, sure.
Right of the audio listeners, you know, what we're looking at right now, let me just explain this. Okay. So...
Good luck.
In the top left, we have text that says, KDE Plasma 5, already got the version wrong. Our Lord and Savior, Konki, and...
I didn't even notice that.
Our Lord and Savior Konki in black text in the middle with really stretched pictures of Konki like all over the place and text that says you should have received a copy of the GPL V3 license in text that's really difficult to read. Now, I'm not a judge, okay? So I'm allowed to give my opinion here. I don't think this one should win. But... you guys can work that one out for yourself. Let's pick one that's actually...
Who knows?
Here we go. Here's just a random one. Like, obviously you can't give your opinion on, like, which one should win. But, like, this is the level of quality we were seeing in some of these submissions.
Like, oh, yes, this one.
I don't envy your position. I do not envy the position of having to work out, like... which of these are going to be, like, in the final set? Like, there are so many good options.
Yes, there are. And let me tell you, the one I received privately are very good as well.
Yeah.
So, and I think the biggest question is going to be what art style to go towards.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have 3D renderings. And then we have handmade drawings. And then we have low poly stuff. And then we have Microsoft-like wallpapers. So there's... and then a vector art graphic. There's a lot of different styles. What I would like to do, but again, it's going to be up to the all of the judges. So this is just my personal opinion. What I would like to do. Yes, I am one of the six judges.
Six, okay.
And what I would like to do, what I would like to see is for us to be able to have, we select six finalists, and I would like the six finalists to be very different in art style with each other. So maybe one 3D rendering, one handmade drawing, I don't know. But something like that would make me happy. But of course, we haven't even started discussing that, so I don't know.
Well, I wish you guys the best of luck. No matter what ends up happening, there's going to be a good wallpaper. Like, that's what's going to happen. Like, there is no concern whatsoever about there being, like, really good pieces to choose from.
Yes, and what I'm also wondering is after that wallpaper, because it's very easy to pick one wallpaper, what... ideally would happen is that we're able to have some sort of style that remains the same throughout Plasma 6 wallpapers.
Okay. But
obviously, yeah. That's difficult to do because you have to contact the author and ask the author to make other wallpapers in the same style or ask somebody else to do that. So not easy, but we are certain Plasma 6 is going to have an awesome wallpaper. I'm wondering about Plasma 6.1, 2, and so on.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that, yeah. Huh.
If I can add one thing, one of my personal quests is to convince KDE to hire an artist to do wallpapers. Because it's just 3 wallpapers every year, mm-hmm. so we wouldn't have to like hire one. Just contract one for 3 wallpapers a year, and it's just 3 wallpapers a year. It wouldn't be that expensive. So last time I tried, my idea was shut down by the KD board. So, but this time we've got more money. So hopefully, I would like KD to actually start paying for an artist.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would definitely allow for a more consistent style.
Yeah. Hmm. And we would make sure that the artist that we use the wallpaper of actually gets something in reward.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's fairly normal in open source projects to consider, like we all do code. And I think we are just used to thinking that everybody contributes to open source projects for free, and that's completely normal. But the thing is, code is very different from art, which is very different from promotion and stuff. And whereas it's very easy to have a very good team of developers working on an open source project, if you want to do art, it's completely different. And it's very important, I think, right now to pay the artists that you're using to do the art, because right now artists are kind of having a bad time, so generally speaking. So I think it's particularly important to put money there compared to developers. Mm. But of course, when you pitch the idea to developers, I think they kind of don't see the difference between contributing code and contributing art. Mm-hmm. And I think it's completely different.
So what was the concern with allowing AI art? Because I know that was one of the things you mentioned, was just
so
flat out
AI art is extremely controversial. Even within, okay, I'm saying even within the team of KD developers, but in fact, everybody has an opinion. I have a different one. So the controversy is purely between me and everybody else. So sure. Not controversial. I'm just, so firstly, artists as a whole are quite angry at AI art because of the obvious claims of AI art is actually stealing our art because it's trained, is blah, blah, blah. So I've actually written an article about that on Tech Art website, mm-hmm. which goes into depth about this. It's something I understand, but I actually don't agree with that. I don't think that stealing art is representative of what actually happens. But regardless, I understand the stance. And our projects, such as Krita, which has a very big artist audience, they clearly took a stance against AI art, and that was very popular, obviously. And it was truthful. Like, Krita developers are strongly against AI art. Mm-hmm. And most of KD developers are as well. Again, personally, I have a different opinion, but so just allowing AI art as a general idea would have been a mess just because of the discussions that would have arised. Mm-hmm. But even if we wanted to do that, we have got copyrights problems. We need the wallpaper to be CC BY, Creative Commons BY. AI art, being able to copyright AI art is currently an extremely unclear topic that changes a lot from state to state. So, like Steam does, Steam currently does not accept any submission containing AI art, mm-hmm. not because they say they are against AI art, but it's just impossible to be sure that you actually own the copyright of that piece. So we just, if you see the rules, it states that everything should be under copyright Creative Commons. And because of that, we are not allowing AI art. So it's presented as being a legal issue, and it is one. But even if it wasn't, there'll still be major disagreements, and probably we wouldn't accept them anyway.
On the topic of AI art, is there any policy within the KD project around AI code?
There's no policy that I know of. I think with code, the thing is that maybe some developers used those tooling personally, but you don't actually disclose that. Now, I don't think anybody really uses them a lot. There might some big companies disallow using them because the code that you insert into AI, especially if it's like open AI, it goes towards their servers and therefore might get public, get into the training data, and it might get, you know, all of that issues. We are open source, not a big issue of that, but so there's no like rule against it, but I'm not aware of anybody doing that. And personally, I sometimes do ask, I don't know, QML or JavaScript questions to ChatGPT, just if I need a very quick function. And of course, I just look through it and I check it's correct. I just don't copy paste blindly. But it's, you know, small pieces of code. There's no real policy that I'm aware of, except obviously that you can't copyright stuff. So it's a legal mess.
Yeah, I bring it up because GitHub recently made GitHub, what is it, GitHub Copilot Chat public, which is their, like, integration of ChatGPT into Copilot. So now it's, like, you can ask these questions directly in GitHub. So this idea of AI-generated code is going to become a... It's going to become a more widespread thing, like AI art is as well. And I have no doubts that you're going to start seeing more of the... Similar to what you see with the AI art stuff, where someone will just generate something blindly, not touch it up or anything, just generate something, and then submit that as an idea. And I have no doubts you're going to start seeing people doing that with code submissions as well, where they generate some code that the AI says works, and then it's like, well... It doesn't really. It's just, it's theoretically worked in an imaginary system, but not in this one.
Yeah, currently I'm not aware of an AI model that is able to go through a large code base, because KDE's code base is extremely large and is still able to... produce code that does what you're asking for. Again, if it's small snippets, it's okay. We did kind of look into applications of AI models for stuff like bug reporting, if we want to very quickly check that a bug has been filed correctly, stuff like that, but nothing really came out of it. What I'm waiting for, I would like to experiment more. I like what AI is, the latest developments in AI overall. Other KDE developers are more skeptical, but not because of a, like, there's reason. They have reasons to be skeptical, and I fully understand them. Personally, I what I think could be useful is to be able to currently. Like ChatGPT is able to get an image, see it, understand it incredibly well. As an example, I can take a screenshot of system settings. I can give it to ChatGPT and I can tell you, can tell him it. Hey, I want to change the wallpaper. Which button should I click? And ChatGPT is going to say, yes, you have to click this button, which is underneath that one and on top of that one. So it works really well. It's not able to actually tell you the coordinates of the button. If it was able to do that, then I would be able to do a bot that interacts with Plasma for you. Currently, we are not able to do that, but if that was feasible, then we could have stuff like automated testing, where you actually tell ChatGPT, hey, test that changing the wallpaper is working, and then ChatGPT takes a screenshot and then clicks on the button, takes another screenshot, stuff like that. That would help a lot, because currently doing testing involves getting the code of every button to be clicked, and that takes a lot of time. So this would be easier, or even just taking a bug report and reproducing that bug report automatically. So there is a lot of things we could do, But currently, I have not found anything that is good enough to actually be proposed to the wider community. It's just ideas.
I haven't had a chance to test it, but one of the things that GitHub is claiming that Copilot Chat can do is with their enterprise policy, they can have it be trained on a specific enterprise code base and then be more specialized around that. I have no idea if this would actually work well, but assuming that it does what they say it would, that would sort of be the idea about training around, like, you know, around a code base like what KDE has and then generating things that make more sense within that context. Once again, these models tend to hallucinate quite a bit, so it might still produce nonsense, but I'm curious to see how it would actually play out with like a real world code base.
Yes, that's true. Keep in mind though that as KDE, we just cannot rely on tools provided by GitHub because they're closed source and everything. So we wouldn't be able to use them at all. So there's that. I also have been experimenting with AI stuff for personal use cases, even the YouTube channel. Like writing scripts is something that text models should be able to do. But currently I've found AI generated text to be quite weak. I do use them to do like summaries, stuff like that. That's nice. Or, writing bullet points, these kind of things that are useful, but actually writing scripts and stuff, I don't think they are there yet, but I just experiment and see how it goes.
Mm. Things are getting a lot better for sure. Like if we look back, you know, a year, 2 years, in the past, like things were in such a worse state. I have no doubt that these tools are going to be, regardless of the legal issues, which are a major issue that need to be dealt with, and I expect there to be some interesting things that come out of the... there's currently a lawsuit going on against OpenAI, Microsoft, and GitHub. They tried to get it thrown out. The judge was like, no, we're not doing that. So I'm curious to see what ends up coming out of that, and I have no doubt there's going to be other cases that come along that try to answer some of these legal questions, like, what does it mean for there to be AI-generated art? Like, is that something that is... Can you sell that? Like, what can you... Is it allowed for personal use? Like, what is actually allowed for this? Because whilst a lot of people have opinions on what should be allowed and what is or is not a good idea for artists, none of these questions have been properly answered yet to a point that is sufficient that I'd be comfortable saying one way or another.
And even worse, this changes from state to state.
Yeah.
So when it comes to an international project like KDE is, that makes everything more complex. And we can talk about copyright laws, the comic that tried to get copyrighted in America specifically, something. I don't remember the exact name right now. And they actually managed to get the copyright because they said, yes, it's AI art, but also I changed the image and selected them. And then it kind of was revoked, but not entirely. It's quite a complex story just in the USA. And then you've got UK, which is doing its own laws. And then Europe is currently working on AI legislation. It's all changing very quickly. And of course, it's still trying to catch up with the latest developments in AI while still we're getting some pretty big advancements. So right now, I mean, I'm not waiting to see what happens. I'm actively experimenting with the technology, but there's still a lot of things to happen.
Mm-hmm. One of the places that I've been paying like close attention to is the voice synthesis stuff. Like this has gotten... I remember a couple of months back, it was pretty bad. Like, it was, you could be like, oh, yeah, you know, it kind of sounds like a person. Like, now I'm hearing some stuff that's being done, and I, in a lot of cases, cannot. Obviously, you can tell if you're hearing, you know, someone say something they would never have said before, but the actual voice itself, in many cases, sounds near perfect. And that's kind of terrifying. Like, it, you know, if you had an audio recording of someone, you're like, okay, that's something that was said. That's not the case anymore. Like, you can train something fairly quickly and generate audio that is near lifelike in a short amount of time that, you know, the idea of video evidence, the idea of audio evidence is just very quickly not becoming a thing that is at all relevant.
I'm not able to distinguish between authentic voice and voice generated anymore. And I can tell you that because, again, I do use a lot of TikTok. A lot of content in TikTok is voiceovers reading Reddit posts. And I just cannot distinguish again anymore whether a human or AI is reading those Reddit posts. I just don't know.
Did you see YouTube put out a plan to do AI disclosure on videos where, because YouTube's also having the same problem with a lot of AI generated content.
I vaguely saw that, but I didn't read through it yet.
The idea is like with sponsored videos, we have to disclose that it is a sponsored video. You will have to disclose that this is an AI generated video. You've used AI to generate parts of the content here. And I think it is a good idea to have that, whether it's, you know, regardless of the legal issues that happen or not, having this clear indication of what is the content. Are you actually watching something being made by a person, or is this just some, you know, does this exist solely for the purpose of farming ad revenue with absolutely no work going into it at all? Like, having that there, like, there are channels that exist, you know, as you're saying, that just read out Reddit posts, and that's something you can really easily automate. Like, yeah, having that be disclosed, I think, is just a good thing. I don't have any explanation, like, any argument against doing that.
My only argument is, how can we know whether somebody is lying? Because, yes, currently we do have automatic tools for stuff like images and voice. Mm-hmm. Text, it has been proven that text is basically impossible to recognize whether it's AI or not. And by the way, I've seen a lot of teachers using AI recognizing stuff that's doing a mess. Now, we just cannot distinguish between the two right now, reliably, of course. And I'm just wondering whether that's going to continue. Maybe that's going to happen for voice and video as well.
Very possible. There's always going to be people that try to cheat the system, without a doubt. Like, people do the same thing with sponsored videos. They will be like, you know, this is not a sponsored video. Ignore the briefcase of money on the corner. It's fine. So I have no doubts people will be like, yeah, this is not AI generated, even though it very, very obviously is. But assuming people are being trustworthy, which is a hard thing to assume in many cases, I think in those cases it's definitely a good thing. But you can't just assume that it's not AI generated because someone didn't say it is, I guess is a good way to put it.
I can see, I see this as a bit of a challenge if anybody who follows me sees this, but I did an experiment and I did publish a video that is 75% written by AI, copy-pasting. I just tried to see how it went. And so far, nobody said anything about it. The video went fairly well. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it. Personally, like, I recorded everything, I watched it, and I still published, but I just didn't like it, so I never did it again. But one of my videos is 75% AI and 25% me. Mm-hmm. So I say this as a challenge. Go ahead and figure out which one it is. It feels to me like it's pretty obvious, because it has such a different style, but it's not obvious at all. So.
Apparently not. I guess this goes back to what you're saying, where it's kind of hard to distinguish the AI text. But I think with that, it also, because you're the one saying it, it even if it is, even if someone does notice like a style change, maybe they're like, oh, okay, he's just like changed the style, or someone else wrote the video. Like, that's a pretty easy thing to assume before you would assume AI generated text. But on that note, I guess it's about time we end off the video. We just hit the 2 hour mark.
Did we? Time flies.
It does, yes. Yeah. So, yeah.
I guess I can actually try to show you the room now.
If you want to, yeah.
Give me, yes, let me turn on the light. Now the light is actually on, and I can actually try to detach the camera. Just give me a sec. You're going to cut this away from the audio-only podcast, right? Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense at all.
I might do that, unless I forget to.
Well, if you're listening to this and you don't see any video, well, blame him.
Let's have a look. Well, here we go. Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. So we've got a bunch of books over there. Oh, that's how he's doing the lights. I see. Okay, that's really cool. So we've got the blackboard wall. He's written maths or something on. I don't know, man. I don't know what any of that is. Making a bomb or something. I don't know. That's a wall, I think. Yeah. And then, okay, there's the bed with a bunch of junk on it. I see the... Okay, so we threw the monitor onto a bed. I thought you just threw it on the floor. That's a really small room. Oh, wow.
Okay, now I have no clue how to put this back. I can do this. Hello.
Just but end yes, it like
now
this.
I'm gonna keep. So probably you didn't see that, but when I put this away, my Elgato key light just fell through my desk, so it's now laying on the floor.
Oh, that's good. Okay, well, hopefully it's okay.
It's probably fine.
Well, let the people know where they can find you, where they can find everything you want to mention.
Yes. So first of all, there's my YouTube channel, because I have one. I think I mentioned that briefly through the video, and that is called Nico Loves Linux. You can just search it. I do KDE development, but I talk about what I do on my channel. So if you're interested in that, you can just go there. And everything else worth of note is on my website, which is just nico.love. And that's it. That's everything you should know about me.
.love TLD?
Yes. And in order to get nico.love, I had to contact the person behind the .love domain, because it was listed at around 1,000 euros a year. And I was like, I'm not going to pay that. So I actually contacted the guy saying, hey, can you actually, you know, lower the price a bit? And he did. So now I have it.
Wow, that's nice. I guess also check out KDE stuff. There is a fundraiser going on right now.
Yes, there's a Plasma 6 fundraiser. We're currently trying to get to 500 users to contribute 100 euros every year. Mm-hmm. So currently you are 75% through the goal. So if you're able to contribute a bit, you get you become a supporting member. And that comes with some benefits, like having your name on the webpage.
Anything else you want to mention, or is that pretty much it?
That's good for me.
Okay, well, as for me, while you struggle to hold the camera there, I have the gaming channel that is Brody on Games. I stream on Twitch and YouTube twice a week. Probably, I don't know what I'm playing through because this will be out in a couple of weeks. Maybe I finish Armored Core 6, and I'll probably finish Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, in which case, I don't know what I'm playing. Maybe Neptunia Sisters vs. Sisters? I don't know. Check back in. Might be playing Devil May Cry. I might be playing God of War. It's a mystery. Check it out. If you... That's a really... I actually don't... You might want to use that angle for something. That's kind of a nice angle. But the... Yeah,
doesn't
the...
have a microphone.
Yeah, that's the problem. The mic's nowhere near you. The main channel, Brody Robertson. I do Linux videos there 6 days a week. There'll be something there. Check it out. And if you're watching the video version of this, there is a audio version on pretty much any audio podcast platform. Search for Tech of Tea and you'll find it. If you're listening to the audio version, you'll find the video on YouTube at Tech Over Tea. Also, clips are there as well, so if you don't want to watch the entire thing, there will probably be a short form of various parts of the video. Yeah. I really do like that angle. Half the video is being cut off in, like, the overlay I've got here. But, like, the actual video I'm seeing on Discord, maybe you want to mess around with that. I don't know. Anyway, I'll give you the final word. Now you got to reach for the mic. What do you want to say?
Thanks, everybody, for watching. Don't forget to subscribe and like the video.
Peace out.